tour de force, the explosive journey from street cop to chief of the Australian Border Force, written by Roman Quadvlieg and read by Roman Quadvlieg. I was lying on the road next to my car, which was parked in Sydney's inner south. The road felt cold, and several cars drove too close to me for comfort. I remembered a scene from my uniform policing days where a teenage boy had been run over and killed after falling drunk on the roadway, and moved in as close as I could to the car. I activated my iPhone torch, noticing the time was 9:21 p.m., and scanned the under chassis looking for a magnetically attached transmitting beacon. I checked both sides of the car, particularly the passenger side, where the paparazzi would have had more time and a better opportunity to attach it. I checked the wheel wells, the rear bumper, and the under front grille. There was no device, but it wouldn't have been the first time I'd found one. In my line of work, paranoia is the norm. I got up, dusted off the grit, and looked through the front windscreen. My girlfriend Sarah was watching me while messaging friends, updating them through the multitude of social platforms she uses. Sarah's court matter for allegedly disclosing confidential information had been mentioned in the Downing Centre local court earlier that day. Reporters knocking on the door at her old house the previous day had failed to find her. But then a gaggle of reporters and photographers had descended on her mother's house where we were staying. It seemed getting a photograph of Sarah was a matter of national importance. I knew we'd be relatively easy to find, so I'd warned the neighbours, who texted saying there were a handful of snappers outside with large cameras. One of the cameras was set up on a tripod on the footpath. I hoped I could get the media reps to go away by calling their bosses, many of whom I knew very well. One of the reporters had identified herself as being from The Australian, so I called a long-time contact at the paper, senior journalist Paul Maley, and registered my displeasure, refusing an interview. Paul came back to me a short time later, saying the crew would stay until they had a shot of Sarah. We were offered the opportunity to stage a candid shot. "We're going to get you eventually," I was told, but Sarah wanted to maintain her privacy. I had locked the entrance gate earlier that afternoon in anticipation of reporters. The media weren't certain we were home, and I avoided confirming this when I spoke to Paul. As we had the upper hand, I started planning our covert exit. Sarah booked an Airbnb for 3 nights in Zetland in inner city Sydney, and we closed the house blinds, locked the doors, and left the lights off to confuse the reporters. We stayed inside to avoid a long-range snap or the possibility of overhead footage taken by a drone. A neighbour sent me a photograph of the reporters taken from her upstairs window. We waited. After darkness fell, one of the reporters climbed the front gate and walked down the side of the house. Sarah wanted to call the police, but that would have confirmed we were home. Soon after, another neighbour rang to tell us there were now only 3 journalists, all wearing jeans and hoodies, all with long-range lenses.